Good morning, Fort McMurray, Wood Buffalo, and the rest of the world. You've tuned in to the Mac City Morning Show. I am your host, Elliot Pierre. We're going to start this episode off the same way we start every episode off, with a moment of gratitude. I know you could be doing a million other things with your time, and the fact that you spend it with us truly does mean the world to me, so thank you. On that note, Tanner, hit him with the intro.
How's it going, you guys? It's Jake White, JJW, coming at you from Norrell Toyota in Fort McMurray. Just wanted to say hi and come on down, check the place out.
Hi, my name's Richard. I'm the service manager here at Norrell Toyota.
Hi there, I'm Adam. I'm here at Norrell Toyota. I'm a product advisor.
Hi, I'm Cass. I'm the appointment coordinator. Happy to help you.
Hey, it's Keith Simpson here. I'm the general manager of Norrell Toyota, soon to be Fort McMurray Toyota. Pretty excited for our new dealership. As you've seen, you met all my staff. These guys are all my family. We're here to take care of you. Come on down and be part of our family.
And we are back. Big shout out to Norrell Toyota, our title sponsor for today's episode. We really do appreciate your ongoing support. As everybody at home knows, I do not introduce my guests because they can do a better job at that than myself. So, sir, can you please tell everybody at home who sure. You are and what you're about?
All right. Thanks, Elliot. And thanks, Tanner, for having me on the show today. My name's Mark McGee.
Keep going, man.
Mark McGee, I'm a helicopter rescue pilot with the local Hero Foundation here in Fort McMurray, and the parent company is Phoenix Heliflight. My role is a pilot where we go to scene calls for emergencies, whether it's 911 calls or search and rescue in the region. So we can cover northern Alberta into a little bit into Saskatchewan, a little bit of NWT, and then here down to Edmonton if we're required.
So, as far as helicopters are concerned, when did you get into helicopters?
Yeah, I started flying in 2000, flying planes, and that was extremely boring.
Okay.
So I swapped over to helicopters in 2005. So I did a full course in 4 months.
Yeah.
Got my helicopter's license. With my background in speed skating and coaching, they offered me an instructor position.
Yeah.
So I had to build some time. So I did tours in Drumheller around Horseshoe Canyon. And then traffic in Calgary and Edmonton. Mm-hmm. And then once I had my time, I became an instructor.
Okay.
And then taught new students for 3 years. From there, was offered a position with STARS, but chose to go to the Middle East. I worked for Abu Dhabi Aviation in Abu Dhabi, flying offshore, okay, as well as medevac for the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. So I did that for 2 years, came back, flew for STARS for a little bit, and then Daryl and Paul started the 24/7 program up here, and I knew Daryl from my instructor rating days.
Okay.
So are you looking for more pilots?
And yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I've been up here since. So this is going into my 12th year as of Monday.
Wow! Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks.
So, Fort McMurray, Abu Dhabi.
Yeah.
What the heck? What are we even talking about here?
One extreme to the other. So yeah. I've always been a winter person. So
okay.
Fort McMurray is quite nice in the winter, you know, minus 40s,
mm-hmm,
where Abu Dhabi and Saudi was plus 50, 55, 48s in the summertime. So it was difficult coming home in the wintertime.
Yeah.
Because, you know, 38 degrees to minus 26 to change a flat tire.
Yeah.
That's special.
Yeah, no doubt. That's a huge swing.
Yeah.
So in regards, because I've been to hot places, but
yeah,
I've never lived in a hot place. What do you do when it gets that hot? Because, like, no, yeah, here, minus 50, you can put stuff on.
Yeah.
When it's hot, you can't take enough stuff off.
Yeah, so long sleeve works really well. Long sleeve cotton pants are always great. And limit your time outside during the day.
Yeah.
Obviously, on air ambulance, we get called all the time. So I wear flight gloves, and that protects you from the hot machines.
Yeah.
Boots run out faster because the tarmac's super hot.
Right.
Yeah, you just limit your outside time during the day, and then at nighttime you come out where the onshore flow comes in or offshore flow comes in, cools things down. Instead of dry heat, you're into the humidity.
Right.
So it's a little more doable to be active at night than during the day, but it's a lot of water.
What's the social life like there with that kind of heat?
Yeah, it's indoor pretty much during the day, whether you go to the malls or skating rinks or movies. Air conditioning to air conditioning. When you come out out of that air conditioning, then it's the hot oven and
right,
you're burning up.
Nuts. Yeah. Now, you said skating twice.
Yeah. So I was a former speed skater. in Calgary.
Okay, what does that mean? Former speed skater. I'm pretty sure you can still skate.
Yeah, I can still skate. I'm a referee now, and my youngest daughter skates.
Okay.
So we're still involved in the sport. Been doing it for 30 plus years now.
Okay.
And then, yeah, so that was my... From high school, I started speed skating full-time, and that was my full-time profession. And then I got injured and started doing work around the Olympic Oval in Calgary.
Okay.
So that was making ice to running events for them and all kinds of fun stuff.
And how do you make that like a full-time profession? Like you're sponsored out? Like how did
you work three jobs and you try and survive. Then you get provincial funding if you make the provincial team, which I had the opportunity of skating for.
Yeah.
And so you get funding to go to different competitions, but otherwise you're just working on your downtime when you're not training.
Yeah. Like it's like the Home Hardware commercials you see.
Yeah, exactly. So you do whatever you can to make it successful for you.
Yeah.
And the Oval is really good at supporting athletes by giving them opportunities to work either in maintenance, doing the ice, the weight room, front office staff. So it was really good support program for, you know, athletes not quite at the national team, but maybe one day they'll get there.
That's right. What got you into skating initially?
We came with our high school. My main sport growing up was volleyball. Really enjoyed volleyball, but our high school went to a school program at the Oval. Okay. And one of the coaches, Duff Gibson, said, "Hey, pretty good skater, you want to come give it a try?" So I really enjoyed it and liked skating fast. So we went out and went out on a couple club sessions and got hooked, and then the rest is history. Just kept skating.
And so where did that take you to?
It was great. So I did speed skating in the wintertime, and then summertime I picked up inline racing. So I did short track at Rollerland in Calgary, which is an old roller rink, Lloyd's.
Yeah.
Outdoor stuff with Alien Inline. And then speed skating wise, I went to Canada Games in 95 in Grand Prairie. I was fortunate enough to be able to go to Ikaho, Japan for the Sato Cup. And that was a big international mixed universities, high performance skating.
Yeah.
So that was a great opportunity. Lost races down in Butte, Montana at the high altitude center there, and then all across Canada.
Neat. Yeah. And so when you're skating in these different environments, like you said, high altitude, going over to Japan versus Alberta, you know, like we're not flat, but, you know, very different. What were the conditions like from an athlete's perspective?
So, at that time, the Oval in Calgary was primarily the only indoor oval apart from Milwaukee. So all our races were outdoors. So you have weather conditions. Canada Games in 95, we were affected by a pretty good Chinooks. So the ice was melting during the day. It was raining. I remember doing an interview for CBC in the rain.
Yeah.
And they asked, how is this going to affect you? And it was, well, it's curling ice now, so it's going to affect everyone.
Yeah.
But we had to get up at like 3 in the morning
and
start racing by 5 so that the ice was hard. And then as the tournament left, it was like minus 30.
Yeah.
So it was really great.
Yeah.
Back then there wasn't, you know, minus 30, minus 20 was the typical, like Regina, Saskatoon, Winnipeg were always cold. You were guaranteed cold. And then you'd come home at the end of the season and skate in the Oval and it would be fantastic.
Nice.
T-shirt weather and
totally.
And fast ice. So
yeah,
it was pretty unique that way.
And now your daughter's into that.
Yeah. So my daughter was playing hockey. So my wife and my other child both are into hockey. Becky played growing up and then into her older years.
Yeah.
And then so Tess and Grace played hockey, and Grace didn't really like the half ice and like the speed. And we I took her to my friend's competition at the Oval. She saw it and she's like, "I'd like to try it."
Yeah.
So the next year COVID happened, and then we were able to get a season in. She's been doing it since and loves hockey. Or love speed skating as opposed to the hockey side.
Interesting. Yeah. And so where can she do that here in McMurray?
There's nothing really set up. There used to be a club out of Fort McMurray, but it's been long gone, I think, in the last 10 years.
Yeah, that's right.
It's gone.
So with your kids, were they over in...
No, we do touring, just like here. I tour out of here. So we do, to the Middle East, I do 6 weeks on, 6 weeks off.
Yeah.
And then here I do 3 weeks on, 3 weeks off.
Yeah, because like what you do, like there's a limited amount of people that can do and fly what you fly. So you said something at the beginning in regards to you didn't like being a pilot because it was boring.
Yeah, fixed wing.
Explain that concept to me and to anybody at home, because I don't understand what that means.
So for me, I grew up in Calgary in Parkdale and right at the Foothills Hospital. So I'd watch Stars or Alpine helicopters come and land at the hospital every day.
Yeah.
Always loved helicopters, whether it was Airwolf, Blue Thunder, you know, anything helicopter, I'm in it.
Yeah.
It's also very expensive. So when I decided I wanted to go flying after speed skating, I tried fixed wing and it was fun, but it's something you have to do every day. Otherwise you can get distracted and squirreled. And
yeah.
But when I was flying, I was like, ugh. Like it's, you set it, forget it. And you're just flying. Where helicopters, you can land anywhere.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest draw for me. And air ambulance has always been the draw, because every day could be something different. I could land downtown, you know, downtown here or downtown in Riyadh, pick someone up, fly them to the hospital.
Yeah.
So I like that challenging kind of work.
Right.
And that scope of work has been big for me growing up, the hospital itself. So going from planes to helicopters, I had to do it. It was a big sacrifice for the family. It's not cheap, but it takes about 5 years to finally start making money back in the industry and being comfortable again.
Interesting.
Yeah, so it's hard at first, but if you put your mind to it and work hard for it and know this is what you want to do and where you want to go with it, anything's possible.
Yeah. And so is this a career path, like, well, not how was this career path made known to you?
Yeah, so, you know, growing up, I would talk to the pilots with Stars. I volunteered for them for a while.
Okay.
And then, so that got me into the medevac side of it, and how do I get into this profession? And then when I went to flight school, I had a great mentor with Paul Bergeron and Richard Alzetta. You know, they explained their careers to me. And Richard did flying in Singapore, flew in the Middle East, so we shared a lot of those stories. And, you know, there was great advice. You either fly VFR, which is visual flight rules, working, you know, in forestry stuff. And it didn't really appeal to me, but where I wanted to fly offshore into the oceans and or air ambulance anywhere possible.
Yeah.
So that drove me in the direction that put me where I am today.
Yeah.
And it was just a lot of mentorships. And in the industry, there's a lot of mentors that are out there that are incredible and willing to help you with your goals.
That's awesome. And it obviously takes you international.
Yeah. You can go anywhere. Like right now, to be a helicopter pilot or any pilot is, there's so many great opportunities. It's, you know, how do you work it with family life and, and work life is, that's the only thing you need to sort out. But the doors are open worldwide, and once you meet people worldwide, then it, you keep in contact and you're able to explore new opportunities if something's not what you were hoping it would be.
Yeah, and that's really interesting to hear, because, like, as far as myself, when, like, I daydream about, like, helicopters, you're usually thinking it's either military or you see, like, rich people in their helicopters flying around. There's so many other, like, use points for it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Military was, I thought about it, but it just didn't really appeal to me. I joined briefly for basic training during my speed skating days, and it wasn't for me. I was having too much fun inlining and and speed skating, so I chose, it's not for me. And then it was just motivation from my wife when we first met, you know, is this something you want to do? Then go and do it.
That's
and
very
that
cool.
drove me to helicopters, basically.
That's awesome. Right. Now, before we started filming here, a topic of food was brought up. And they said we could kill 20 minutes with food conversation. So what kind of food are we talking about here? I only got, you got 2 minutes, I've been told.
Yeah, I'm a big foodie. I like exploring different places here in Fort McMurray. You know, I just went to the golf course and tried their waffle fries. They're excellent. There's a place in Calgary that has the same style, and it was top notch. Food wise, I'll go anywhere, and that's the first thing I look at. Whether we, you know, we go to Shreveport, Louisiana here at the end of the week for our annual training and check rides with Transport Canada.
Yeah.
And I look for the great restaurants to go and eat, whether it's crawfish or etouffee. And
yeah.
So every city I go to, I scope out the best restaurants and try and hit them up.
Transport Canada sending you to Louisiana?
Our company does. And then Transport Canada sends an inspector and they do a check ride with us. So it's a flight test to make sure we're continuing safe flying. And
how often do you have to do stuff like that?
Annually. Yeah. Really? So every year.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Okay, back to food. What's the best meal you've ever had?
Best meal I've ever had? A place in Abu Dhabi called The Automatic. It's Lebanese. It was fabulous.
Yeah.
Oh, during Ramadan, it was lentil soup, so lemon lentil soup, and then mixed grill. That was by far the best meal. And then chicken wings is always number one, too, in my heart.
There we go. That's awesome. Well, my man, Tanner's topped his watch. That means we're out of time.
Awesome.
But before I cut you loose, everybody gets a shameless shout-out or plug. So we have the mic, the camera, the lights. Have fun.
Yeah, it's nice meeting. Thanks for everyone's time. And if you get a chance, check out the Local Hero Foundation on their website, Local Hero, or YMM and Local Hero. And if you ever want to stop by for a tour, just give the front office a shout, and we'll give you a tour of the machine. Thanks very much, guys.
There we go. Awesome. Well, for McMurray with Buffalo, the rest of the world, that's been another episode of the Max City Morning Show. From the bottom of my heart, thank you very much for tuning in. It means the world to me. Big shout out to our title sponsor, Neural Toyota, as well as Carrie from Patchouli Rose and the beautiful people at Coldwell Banker. Hope everybody's having a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Peace.
Hi, everyone. It's Carrie with Patchouli Rose here at Thickwood Barbershop. If you're wondering what to get your loved one this season for Valentine's Day, I make an all-natural anti-aging skin serum called Good Skin. It's good for men and women, and it's available for purchase here at the barbershop, downtown at the corridor shops and events, and on my website. Thank you for your support.
Talk about quenching your ugly thirst.